devices can be controversial, but another town is now on board with adding speed and red light cameras to their municipality. Orange Town officials recently voted unanimously to incorporate them. And so for the latest on this, we're checking in now with Orange First Selectman Jim Zioli. And welcome back to the show, First Selectman. What led the town of Orange to want these devices?
Well, the Orange police have been looking at this for quite a while. They had already installed. We do have some plate readers, which are also a little bit controversial, functioning in the commercial district of the town down in the Indian River Road, Marsh Hill Road, Post Road area. And this traffic control is another potential lifesaver, speed saver. It's something that's it's technology that will aid the police department in understanding when problems happen. Hopefully it will change people's habits of running the red lights. This is a program that has to be approved by the state Department of Transportation. And so some people, I think, initially thought that these go into like neighborhoods or local intersections, which isn't the case. They actually go on roads that the DOT also has oversight on. And we've had a lot of traffic issues on Route 34 with the cross intersections at Dogwood Road, Racebrook Road, Orange Center Road, Baldwin Road. And we've had a lot of accidents in these intersections over the years and all. And this technology hopefully will aid us in getting people to stop running those lights. That's pretty much every time there's a bad accident there, it's somebody running lights. Occasionally you have other causes, whether it be stolen vehicles and that type of situation. But a lot of it is just careless drivers, reckless drivers in some cases.
I know
very unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. From a news standpoint, Racebrook Road, I feel like, is in the news constantly. I mean, the amount of times I hear about incidents happening, it's, you know, specifically there. And of course, I live on the Milford Orange line. In fact, my house is half in Orange, half in Milford. So I'm very aware of that. But, you know, some of the places that you just mentioned, do we have concrete locations or an idea of what locations these cameras would go in?
They don't. Aren't finalized yet. The Board of Selectmen at their meeting last week just took the first step in approving an ordinance to allow the use of these cameras within the boundaries of Orange. The next steps are there's a lot of compiling of data, which the police department has already been working on, and other requirements that go with that. There's going to be there's requirements with even the speed that you can set the overage at. The state legislature in their passing of it, the minimum is 10 miles an hour, but we can make it, you know, say 15 miles an hour or something like that. It's at the right of the police department is actually who structures that control of it. The Board of Selectmen approve the use of it and create the ordinance for it, but it's the Orange Police Department that actually will oversee it. And then in the event of that has to all go to the Department of Transportation, which I think your next speaker can explain more. And then once you get the approvals from them, then you can start with the installation of this. It's kind of interesting. We passed that just 1 week ago, last Wednesday. And all of a sudden on my computer, I've had, I don't know, three or four solicitations from companies that want to be in on that.
Wow.
And so, there's a lot of people that are following this all across the country that follow these potential uses of these cameras. There is question about it, though, of the government oversight of, you know, watching people, Big Daddy watching people and all. And it's concerning, not so much with the speed camera side of it, but with the plate reader side of it. There's more concern. I know the ACLU has some lawsuits filed about using the plate readers. So I think the legislature is probably not done fine-tuning, I'm going to call it, both the uses and allowances with this, with the traffic cameras, the red light cameras, and the plate reader cameras, because there's questions with both. And, you know, there's the ACLU's contention is that the government is using these for tracking illegal residents in our communities and this sort of thing. And that,
yeah,
I can't speak to it. I don't know if that is a fact or not. But I do know that those cameras also help with crime. So everything has a plus and a minus.
Yeah, that's like anything in life, right? So we're talking Orange First Selectman Jim Zioli. I am curious. I know in the article I was reading, there was you guys have been getting a lot of emails and calls from residents who want these cameras. They want to feel safer. I'm curious, though, do you think having places like Milford and Stratford both approved for these plans earlier this year, do you think that helps? You think that has anything to do with the need, the more of the need besides police wanting them?
It does help. Our chief, Robert Gagne, spoke at the hearing on it, explaining that our neighboring communities to the east and west of us both have plate reader cameras, not the speed cameras, and that it aids in tracking really the possibility of crime and situations with that. Hit and runs. There was a hit and run that the chief referred to that it enabled them in a case. It also will help if there's child snatching, things like this. You know, there's like I said, there's so many pluses to it that that's why it needs to be so strongly considered, all of these. And the speed cameras are the same thing, because they're reading cars as they're going through. So say you have an incident where, whether it was a hit and run or a child snatching or something, well, you identify a type of vehicle. The people say it was a red car, or it was a Honda, this, that. So they can go into these systems and review that and say, here it is, and they can get a make and model and potentially the license plate and all of that vehicle. And, you know, it helps in crime and in safety. The purpose of the speed cameras, though, isn't initially it was discussed and a person brought up that, oh, it can create a lot of revenue for the community. Well, initially it may create some revenue, but the purpose isn't to create revenue. The purpose is to create safety at intersections and roadways that have seen a lot of accidents, tragedy, because they have to be labeled as such. There's distance requirements for signage before intersections and all that. You know, these cameras are in use, and so you're notifying the drivers that these cameras are in use, and hopefully if somebody gets pinched once or twice and gets fined the $50 fine or whatever it may be,
it changes driver behavior. That is essentially the goal there. And so we want to thank you so much again, Orange First Selectman Jim Zioli, for weighing in on this, helping us to understand how we got to this point in Orange. The devices could be controversial, but Orange just voted unanimously to incorporate speed and red light cameras to the municipality. But if you think it's as simple as just the board voting for it and the town saying, yay, we want this, trust me, the process of actually getting these cameras approved, it's a little more complicated than you may realize. So joining us to talk more about this is Department of Transportation spokesperson Josh Morgan, back on the show with us. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I am fine. I know you and I have talked about this a few times, but I thought it was worth bringing up again because We have seen, and in fact, I'm looking at the list right now. We, you know, Stanford's still pending, and I know Stanford put their plans out there a while back. But it's not as simple as, okay, our town feels like this is great, so here you go, DOT, just give us the stamp of approval. Talk about the process of actually approving a municipality's plans for speed and red light cameras.
Yeah, so before the plan ever comes to us to review and approve, there's a whole host of things the local municipality must do first. So they have to create the plan. They have to create a special ordinance. They have to hold a public hearing. And then the legislative body has to vote in favor of adopting the use of this technology. Only then will it get submitted to the Connecticut Department of Transportation for review. It's a deliberate process that was wrote in concert and in partnership with the state legislature to make sure that when this technology came online, that we were doing it right, that it was being used in the areas where it would have the greatest impact, that it would not be misused to target individuals or communities, and that there is a detailed process in place, and it would be done transparently in the light of day, not behind closed doors. And the process is working. There's 10 approved plans so far in Connecticut. To your listeners, as a reminder, 169 municipalities in the state. So very few have approved plans. There have been lots of conversations with our teams here trying to be helpful to municipalities, answering their questions. But certainly we believe in this technology. We've seen the success of it with our highway work zones when those cameras were active. And we know that it can change driver behavior and save lives.
Holy Toledo, I'm looking at your list right now. So wait a minute. Fairfield just got approved last week?
Yes.
Man, they put plans forward like a really long time ago. I have to, first of all, I totally missed the news on that. Sorry, Fairfield. Wow, I'm slacking. So wow, Fairfield just got approved December 11th. That's incredible. I'm curious though, how many times sometimes on average, obviously every municipality is going to vary, but they're putting plans forward sometimes two or three times, right? I mean, is it very common that they put the plans forward and you guys feel good about it? Or do you usually send back at least one draft?
So every plan has been a little bit different, whether it's looking at maybe using one or two devices or maybe using a dozen or more devices. So the plan in Washington, which was the first plan approved in the state, which I think surprised a lot of people. I think many people thought it would be one of the larger cities, which would be out of the gate having this technology in use, but it was Washington. Because they had just a couple devices. It was a more simple plan, a more simple review. When you look at some place like New Haven that has 12 or 15 type devices, it's a little more complex in terms of the review. But to answer your question, yeah, we go back and forth with the town. This isn't a rubber stamp that comes to us and we just say, okay, this is great, thank you. You know, we're going over it with a fine-tooth comb. We're making sure that it meets the letter of the law. We're making sure that the technology where they're proposing to install it is actually matching up with the data that they submitted to us. So we're, you know, crossing T's, dotting I's. We're making sure that these devices are going to be used sparingly and have the greatest impact for public safety.
I think that's kind of interesting to hear, Josh, because I would imagine the average person when they hear DOT, which, by the way, I'm not saying that you endorse or anything, but I'd imagine the DOT, who works very closely with the state police, loves the idea of speed and red light cameras on average, right? I mean, is that a fair assumption to have that the DOT loves the idea of having these types of cameras in municipalities if used properly?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a proven safety countermeasure by the Federal Highway Administration. This is new technology to Connecticut. It's not new to most of the country and most of the world. What that had allowed us to do, bringing up the rear here when it comes to adopting the use of this technology, is that we saw what worked and what didn't work in cities and states and countries around the world. Worked with our partners in the legislature, worked with the ACLU to address concerns about information sharing, data retention, personal identifiable information. So it's really what I think is a model of the legislation, which, you know, could be adopted in other communities around the country about how to use this technology, because we know it works. We saw it with our red speed cameras in our work zones, that in some areas it dropped speeds by up to 20%. We heard our workers say they felt safer when those devices were out there. So we absolutely believe in automated enforcement technology, but that's no replacement for our partners in law enforcement. They are out there. They're going to be out there this holiday season as well. And really the onus, again, falls back on the person who's getting behind the wheel. No one's forcing them to speed. No one's forcing them to run red lights. No one's forcing them to do the dumb stuff that we're seeing on our roads on a daily basis, which is costing people their lives. So it goes back to the drivers, but this technology, red light camera, speed cameras, is one tool in our tool belt to help improve safety around Connecticut.
But you're sort of proving my point, Josh, why this is shocking that the DOT would even risk then being like, hey, we need you to fix this plan. We don't love this plan, or you got to tweak this. I mean, that I think is to me, what most people would feel, I think, kind of stopped in their tracks a little bit. Like, why would the DOT even question? If you've got a town that's like, hey, I want to put two cameras at this intersection, why would the DOT even be like, oh, you know what? Actually, I don't think you need two cameras. I think you need one. Here, try again. Like, that's, to me, I don't know if you feel like that's a risk, you know, sending back plans. But I think it's really telling of the DOT to be like, look, if you really want these, then you got to do it right. And you've got to, you know, like you said, cross your T's, dot your I's. But I would think the narrative of DOT wants you to have them. I think sometimes people have the misconception of you're going to pass it through because it aligns with what you believe in. And I think that's interesting that that's not necessarily the case. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's, you know, working hand in hand with the municipality. Obviously, they do all of those steps that I mentioned earlier in terms of having the hearing, the legislative body voting in favor of this. There's a lot of legwork and effort that gets put in place before that plan ever comes to us. And what we're doing is making sure the data is accurate, making sure that the what they're telling us matches up with what they had proposed. And, you know, to talk about timing, you know, just looking at the plans, you know, the town of Washington's plan is 29 pages. So we knocked through that pretty quickly. The city of New Haven's plan is 428 pages.
What?
Fairfield's is 206 pages. So
wait a minute. Wait.
There is a lot of information. All of these are on our website. You can click on them if you want to read through them. I challenge you, Melissa. There will
you
be
want a
quiz
light
at the
reading?
End of this interview. Yes, we're going to go through, and I'm going to ask you what's on page 75 of the Fairfield plan.
Do you promise? Do you promise that's the page? Because I'll look it up during the commercial break. Of course, I don't make promises I can't keep. Page 75 of the Fairfield plan is the Fairfield corridors and intersection map. So
boom, you got it.
Boom.
Yeah.
How does that happen? We've got Josh Morgan here from the Department of Transportation. We were talking about how the process to get red light cameras, speed cameras approved for municipalities, it's a lengthy process, and in every town and city is different. I get that. But New Haven with over 400 pages, Fairfield with over 200. But again, I don't know how many amount. I don't know off the top of my head. I didn't get to read through the 200 pages. I apologize. But Fairfield's got what? Let's start there. Fairfield has how many cameras were approved, would you say?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I know New Haven, they had 15 locations.
Okay.
So they had 11 at Signals, four different speed cameras. I don't remember for Fairfield, but every plan is different.
My question why I asked that, Josh,
yeah,
is not to quiz you, but to say, so for 11 locations, 400 pages? What?
Yeah, and a lot of that is going through, because there needs to be proof, right, of did you have that public hearing? Where was the legal notice? We need copies of that. We need copies of the minutes from the public. We need those public comments. We need to see your approved traffic signal plan. We need to see the qualified census tracts. We need to see the layout of where the plans and where the devices are going to go. So it is very, very detailed in terms of how much information we require, how much information the towns need to put together, pulling together those crash maps, like you said, on page 75 of Fairfield, that corridor, looking at where these crashes are happening. And then, again, we're not just skimming this, we're reading it cover to cover, we're double checking the data points, making sure that it lines up with what we're seeing in the data, because this needs to be grounded in reality of what is happening in a certain community. Okay, there's a concern of speeding, a concern of red light running. What's the data telling us? Let's put these devices in place. The plan is approved for 3 years. And at the end of that 3-year time, we go back and see, okay, what has happened over those 3 years? Did speeds drop? Were there a reduction in crashes? Because if this municipality wants to keep this technology, they have to apply again. This isn't a plan that gets approved once and then those devices are out there in perpetuity. If they want to add more devices, we saw in Middletown, they amended their plan to add a new device. It's not a blanket approval that, hey, you're done with us now, go do what you want. There's a constant communication and a timeline for when these plans run. And again, that was to make sure that we do this right and that we don't start seeing these devices on every intersection, every corner, because that's not what's going to be effective. It needs to be in the places where there's the highest risk for public safety.
That makes sense. Now, when you talk about there's a timeline, is there a cutoff? Like, okay, we're going to approve you guys having the cameras for 3 years in this location. In those three, I'm just making this up. In those 3 years, we need to see data that says X, Y, and Z. I mean, when you talk about a timeline, is that what you're saying or what do you mean?
Yeah, the approval itself by legislation is granted for 3 years.
Oh, I just guessed that. Okay.
Yeah, so at the end of three years, the municipality would have to reapply to continue using the technology. But it's also enough time where we'll be able to see, have speeds decreased, have there been a reduction in crashes? Are they effective? And certainly if they're being used and they're not being effective, you know, that's going to be a conversation with the municipality about maybe this wasn't the right answer. Maybe there's different enforcement options, different roadway design or engineering techniques that we can do to help improve safety. But again, the red light speed cameras, these automated enforcement devices are just one tool in the toolbox that we're partnering with municipalities and working with our partners around the state to make conditions safer for everybody.
Wow. So if you and I mean, what would qualify that they're effective enough? Like, I don't know if there's like a magic number, but how do you know if a camera is effective enough to keep for another 3-year contract?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, you see average speeds, you see how many people have run those red lights. We're going to get interim reports from municipalities. We often get asked, you know, how many citations have been issued or what's been happening out in these communities. All of that needs to actually, it's managed locally while we give the approval. The actual day-to-day operations and the data collection is handled locally. But just, you know, what we've seen, what we've read in other news stories is that they have been effective at changing driver behavior already in these communities where these devices are out there. So we're certainly here to help answer questions for any of the towns or cities that are exploring the technology. With Orange's approval earlier this week, I'm suspecting we're going to hear from them before the holidays when they get their plan in. And then for our end, you know, we have a 60-day turnaround. So we have a statutory requirement that we can't get these in and then sit on them. We have a 60-day turnaround where we need to review these and get these back to the communities. So as soon as we get it in our inboxes, we get to work.
Do you enjoy reading, Josh?
I do. I'm more of a sci-fi.
You're like, why would you ask me that?
Fan. I have not so much automated traffic enforcement plans traffic engineering studies, but sometimes it helps me go to bed at night.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. Wow, that's unbelievable. I think these are the behind the scenes moments that I think are so fascinating. So I am going to actually put a link to the DOT website where they have the approved plans. As Josh mentioned, there's not a lot of them, actually. The closest ones to us, Beacon Falls, Fairfield, Greenwich, Milford, New Haven, Stratford. And there's a pending plan for Stamford. And soon, hopefully, a plan for Orange as well. But Josh, I appreciate you giving us the time to share this because I think perspective matters. And for anybody who has the narrative that this is just sort of done deal, wasn't involved, don't approve of it, it could not be further from the truth. So, Josh, I thank you so much for your time. And we'll see what happens with Orange and Stamford for that matter.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Melissa. Always great speaking with you.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you.